The Gospel is taken in the text according to St. John in chapter 10. Jesus said to them, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." So often a Christian preacher faced with this Good Shepherd story is inclined to focus firstly on Jesus himself, the one who cares for the flock, we might say, the flock of disciples and the wider body of humanity for whom he dedicated his life. The life of the shepherd in this image is the welfare of the sheep. And then the preacher may seek to extend the image to include those who, ever since the days of the first Christians, those who were leaders of the Christians, those who have proclaimed Christ's resurrection to the flock and beyond. And in notable cases, these shepherds, if you don't mind the term, dedicated themselves and their energies to the disciples, often at the cost of their own lives. The sheepfold strengthened by the persecution of the lead shepherds. But there may be perhaps another application of this rich text, one we might consider in this short reflection for the fourth Easter Sunday. All right, call it the fourth Sunday of Easter if you insist. What I wish to do is this, wait for it, to suggest that the person represented as a shepherd may be, let's imagine he or she is, the very same person who is called sheep in the Gospel text. Let me explain. When Jesus says, "The sheep that belong to me listen to my voice," I could imagine the sheep as being the faith I have received, into which perhaps I have been baptized. The gift was given me, and it is precious. But like many precious gifts, it is fragile, very breakable. So it must be cared for diligently, lest it be lost, or damaged, or broken beyond repair. And who does the minding and the caring for the faith in my heart? Why, it is myself. Yes, the heart and mind of the believer has the responsibility to tend its own welfare, to guard from possible damage the faith received, as well as from distortion and from poison. I am the shepherd of my own life and have the duty to protect and strengthen it. But I am the one who cares also for that most precious of gifts, the knowledge and love of Christ, and through him, the love of God the Father. The care of our spiritual welfare in prayer, in worship, and then in service of one another, this is the work ahead of us at all times as the shepherds of our own faith, appointed as we are by God in baptism and confirmation to be the guardians of our own gifted destiny. Mind you, there is a variety of ways in which the faith we received can be expressed and nurtured. And there are different ways in which Greeks, Latins, Russians, Evangelicals and Anglicans, different ways in which these speak of the redemption won by Christ, different ways in which each group speaks of the intercession of the saints, speaks of the ethical demands made by Christian belief, and dialogue continues between groups of believers. Some are also in conversation with people of other faiths, and perhaps with folk who boast of not believing anything at the moment. The warmth of the faith we have received can be shared as news that is genuinely good. The Lord loves each person, and we can benefit from contact with different philosophies and tendencies among the world's teachers. Our mind and heart, as good shepherds of our own faith, will be careful to exclude any wolves that might, and generally would, harm the sheep that are our acts of faith. Our growth in knowledge and love of God demands a consistency and a loyalty, so that as guardians and the doctrine of the faith we've received are one in mind and heart, so there may indeed be one flock and one shepherd. Some are strong enough to mind and care for others, and that is an ability to be gratefully accepted as a gift and used with generosity. There may be some particularly gifted people whose role in the church sees them tending also to the faith of many others, perhaps for a parish, or a school, or a diocese. And this is where the care of the faith is more obviously crucial. If the community in a diocese or a school or a parish is going to profess the one faith, it will need a great deal of diligence, care, and teaching. Then, in that larger church, there will be, in more than one sense, one flock and one shepherd. Love one another. The call of Jesus, echoed by St. John and by countless disciples and preachers ever since. In Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus gave Peter grave responsibility for the sheep of the human flock, only on foot of Peter's clear profession of love of Jesus. No disciple, no shepherd of his or her own faith can do less. It is love that is the litmus test. Love is the passport to a range of gifts, of virtues, of experiences. Love God and love your neighbor. That's human shepherding. The provision of profound care for your faith and for the life and welfare of one another.